The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Boy, it's a busy weekend. It's early June, and there's so much going on. The NBA Finals, to me, they've been fun to watch. They've been terrific. I don't care what the ratings show. It only matters to me. My interests in them have been high. The Suns had some workouts over the weekend. The Diamondbacks had some exciting games. There was some college recruiting that went on this weekend. Two of the biggest names in Arizona high school football say they are leaving the state. U of A decides to hire away NAU's basketball coach to put on Sean Miller's staff. And then NAU makes what, in my opinion, a terrific move upward for a longtime high school coach. And Roger Goodell said something this morning that I'm going to lead with because, once you start to hear me on this rant, you'll understand why. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that is with life insurance. Here we are in June. The kids are at home. They're not at school now, and they may be driving you crazy, but they are your kids. You look around at them, and you're saying, okay, if something happened to me today, tonight, this weekend, whatever, is everything handled? Is everything in place? Guys, sometimes you got to quit wearing the ball cap backwards and hanging out with the bros and take care of some business at home once you're married with the kids, okay? I'm not beating you up. I'm just saying that's life. Life comes at you fast. Get your life insurance taken care of. Log on to Sagicor Now. Get your free quote at Sagicor. Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Jody Jackson is going to join us. She's going to Skype in from her her office at home. So we are looking forward to Jay being with us here in about 10 minutes. Always good to catch up with the terrific Jody Jackson on all things around the Diamondbacks and also around the Cardinals. Okay, so I'm sitting here getting ready to do the show. And about 20 minutes ago, the headline comes out, and Eric will love this one too. Goodell, four preseason games not necessary. Hallelujah. The biggest ripoff in all of sports that for years I've had people that have tried to tell me within NFL teams that get paychecks from the NFL. Well, you have to understand. I'm like, no, I don't understand. And you have players that'll pull you aside and say, I'm just trying to get through these without getting nicked up. The biggest joke in all of sports has been NFL preseason football. It's bad. It's awful. It's low-grade dog food. It is. The product, once we get into September, is still not very good. Once we get through about the third week in September, the NFL starts to hit its stride. Why is that? Because players don't go hard or held out in August. And it does take them some time to get together, but the games don't matter. So those first few weeks in September, yeah, it's not as crisp as it should be. The product is terrific once we get into November and December when teams are fighting to be in position. The product is not great for certain teams in November and December because there's not enough workforce in the NFL. The owners want to have it one way, and now the commissioner coming out and saying he wants to reduce the four-game preseason schedule. Yeah, it was great a couple years ago. When was it? It was like five games the Cardinals had, Eric, when they played in the Hall of Fame game in Canton. What year was that? Do you remember?
But it happened. 2 years ago when Kurt Warner went in.
It was like five games that they had. And we just were sitting here every week saying, take this pen and ram it through my eye. There's no reason to sit and watch this stuff.
In related news, water is wet.
Yeah, no, I know.
The sun is hot.
He said he's had discussions with coaches and saying they don't believe that four preseason games are necessary.
It's forward thinking.
To evaluate and
really
develop players. Thinking. This should have happened, I don't know, 10 years ago or thereabouts. And so I want to lead with that today and just, I knocked out my headset. Hang on a second. This stuff happens. Hang on a second. You guys can see this live as it happens. So Goodell spoke Monday. He's at the Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly's 33rd charity golf event. Kurt Warner's at this as well. Without revealing any details, Goodell called it the best sign that the league and union have had discussions about the CBA expiring following the 2020 season. So this is going to be big on the news cycle. And if there's anybody at all that is saying, oh, this is a travesty, these people clearly don't care about the health of players, A. B, they are fine putting a substandard product out there. C, it'll be very interesting to hear owners backtrack on this stuff and say, well, you know, it's in the best interest of the players and with player safety, and we've done our research. No, this should have been done years and years and years ago. Ripped off fans long enough. So I'm happy about this. I don't know if I go for fair possession, Goodell said, in the overtime rule that each team should have one possession. He spoke on this today. So you're going to hear a whole lot of Roger Goodell stuff dominating the news cycle as it goes on. And the first one should be, no, we're going to just eliminate these preseason games down to one or two this year. It won't happen because they already have buildings in place and TV contracts. But the quicker you guys start to take care of your players, your workforce, the better. There. Feel much better now. Today is a big day for the Diamondbacks. So today is the Major League Baseball draft. And the first 75 picks, the Diamondbacks have seven of the first 75 picks today. This will be one of those days that 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, those of us that care and give a rats about a team will look at and say, you know, they crushed it. They turned the whole thing around when they drafted this player, this player, this player. Seven of the first 75. You can't screw that up. You cannot have misses. You cannot have guys that are saying, yeah, we're going to go back to college. You can't have it. You're not going to hit on all seven, but at least four or five of these guys, if you hit on just one or two, blown. Very much looking forward to that. The Dodgers are in town tonight. The Dodgers have a record of 41-19. I'll talk about this a little bit later. It is their best 60-game start since 1974. This is going to be more than a Dodger or Cubs convention starting tonight downtown. It's not going to be pretty. So we'll talk about that later on. What Sean Miller did on his staff, what NAU did, Lonzo Ball for the sixth pick, the Warriors and Raptors so far, this whole Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving trying to get together to go to the Knicks or the Lakers, there's a lot of conversation out there on that front. So we're going to bounce through a lot of things as today's show moves on. But up next, the wonderful, talented Jody Jackson Skyping in from her house on the Diamondbacks. And also, she's been out at Cardinals camp, her impressions of Kyler Murray and things so far out on the Cardinals front. All of our content's up on our website. Busy morning on the site, www.sports360az.com. Sports360az.com. If you're just finding us for the first time, welcome on in. We are here every day at 10 a.m. And we're back with Jody Jackson after this timeout. It is always a good Monday. It's actually a good day anytime that Jody Jackson shows up on the show, especially when it's via Skype, as she is joining us now. From her, is this your man cave, woman cave, Jody cave? What do you call this?
It's our home office. It's got a lot of sports stuff in it from my husband and myself. So,
who has more sports memorabilia, you or him?
Well, I probably have more volume of things. You know, I have a lot of stuff over the years from games and things like that. And I'm actually looking on the other side of here. I have a lot of like awesome stuff that I'm not a big, like, I don't get autographs, things like that. But, and then my husband's, you know, he played football at ASU, so he's got a lot of Sun Devil stuff. So it's kind of even. Maybe I have more volume of things. But
what is the coolest thing you have that he doesn't when it comes to memorabilia?
Well, one of the few things I do actually have, I have Kurt Warner the day that he retired out of the facility. And there was something, I'm looking at it up in this other cabinet we have. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But he's got, of course, a picture of himself playing football, so I can't really rival that. But I have some baton trolling trophies.
If you had a video to go with them, that'd be great.
Those Kurt Warner days. I have a lot of cool bobbleheads, so a lot of neat stuff. He's got the Nolan Ryan and Robin Ventura blooding incident here on the wall, too. We've got a lot of interesting things here.
That's good. Jody Jackson with us via Skype, Fox Sports Arizona host, reporter. She will be there tonight for the big series with the Dodgers. All right, I know you're just coming off a vacation, but just overarching, what do you make out of where the baseball team is right now, sitting here the first week in June?
Well, I know the offense has been a little bit sporadic, but for me, it's about the pitching right now. I don't think we ever really expected to see what we've seen over the last couple of weeks with Luke Weaver, who was really showing everyone that he was going to be one of the anchors of this rotation. And now he's kind of not on a timeline, I guess. There, you know, hopefully no Tommy John is necessary, and hopefully he can rehab this injury. But I don't think any of us really know when he's coming back. You know, I think Zach Greinke will be fine. I know he had that stiff neck last time out. He wasn't himself. And Robbie Ray's still a little bit inconsistent. So you look at Taylor Clark and John Duplantier being a big part of this rotation now. They're going to pitch in this Dodgers series. It'll be Robbie Ray tonight and then Clark and Duplantier. And, you know, these guys have shown a lot of promise, but, you know, I think it's not ideal right now. Hopefully they can step up and show everyone on this team, including the front office, that they can do it. But, you know, this is just not what you hoped for with Taijuan Walker having the setback. You know, he would be coming back in a couple weeks normally. It's tough. I don't worry as much about the offense with this team as the pitching, because they really hang their hat on the pitching and the defense. And we all know how important that is to the psyche of a team. And hopefully they can keep it together with these young guys in the rotation.
How about, Jody, that's good stuff there. How about the idea that they're not going to catch the Dodgers, okay? This is the best start the Dodgers have had through 60 games since 1974. They're not going to catch them, but I think the wild card is wide open. I know it's early June, but maneuvering around as the organization, I believe in what Mike Hazen is doing. I feel like they are going to be a team that's going to hang in there through this season. Where are you at on this? I know you want people to watch, so you're probably going to say, Dad, they're going to dive and crash and burn. But but in seriousness, do you believe that they are going to have staying power for a wild card run?
I do. And I truly believe you're right, Brad. We do want people to watch, and winning is what brings that along. But I do believe that this team's going to find different ways to do it, because they've been very good at that. Torey Lovello, his staff, Mike Hazen and that group, you see guys coming in and contributing, and it's great to see a guy like Tim LaCastro. These guys are contributing to wins. And then you've got the other guys who we don't want to discredit, the star power of Eduardo Escobar, Ketel Marte. David Peralta could be back this week. I guess he could be back as soon as tonight. We'll see. So, you know, it's not ideal for them to sort of muscle their way to victories by scoring 6-7 runs a night. But I think the pitching will also settle in as well. And that's the thing that's more of an unknown, though, frankly. It's an unknown. And again, they're going to have to do whatever they can to keep that rotation rolling along. And I should mention Merrill Kelly, too, who's been kind of up and down. But, you know, for a fifth starter, I think he's been a good surprise, a nice addition for this team. I think it's just a trust in what have they been doing since they got here as far as this current regime. They've been clawing their way to stick in it. And you're right, the Dodgers are always doing something ridiculous. Every night, even on vacation, we were at Yankee Stadium, for example, Friday night, and then we got back to our room around 11 or, you know, and then we could watch the D-backs game. So we've been keeping in touch with what's been going on, of course. But the Dodgers, every night when I look, they're winning every night again. It's just, it's a little bit maddening, but yes, they're a very good team. You know, Walker Buehler, who's pitching tonight, he's a guy that this Diamondbacks team actually roughed up at Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Obviously, it looks very difficult for anyone in the division to catch the Dodgers, including the Rockies, who are right there, and the Padres, who are hanging in there as well. But, you know, it's all about that. You know, it's kind of the Coyote slogan with scratching and clawing, but I love it because, you know, these are not teams in the Valley that are going to have the huge payrolls and are going to just clobber everyone. And, oh, by the way, the Dodgers a couple of years ago lost like 18 of 20 in August. Is that going to happen? Probably not.
Probably not.
But, you know, this is what we love about baseball.
Jody Jackson with us, Fox Sports Arizona host, reporter. You have been out at the Arizona Cardinals. If I would have told you a year ago that, hey, by the way, the coach is going to be gone, the staff's going to be gone, Josh Rosen's going to be gone, all these people are going to be gone, and you're going to be covering a new coach who's never coached in the NFL, and you're going to be covering a Heisman Trophy guy at quarterback, you probably wouldn't have believed me. With that as the setup, what do you make out of what you've seen so far? Because I know you've been out at the Cardinals.
Yeah, I've been getting out there a little bit to see some of these rookies come in, and I'm pretty intrigued by the passing attack that they're building right now. But you're right. I never would have thought. I actually, you know, early on in Steve Wilks' tenure, there were some questions, and you kind of thought, okay, is this going to work long term? And early on, I could kind of see that maybe it wasn't going to. But I would not have expected Josh Rosen to be gone. And I wouldn't have obviously known that they were going to hire Cliff Kingsbury. So, I was super impressed with Kyler Murray out there, though, just the arm. I mean, I know he can run. The little bit that I saw, I didn't see him run a lot. You know, what they're doing right now is just getting him acclimated to the playbook and the other players, of course. But it's pretty intriguing when you've got, you know, Andy Isabella out there and a lot of these other receivers that they've brought in include. And then you see Larry out there as that stabilizing force. You know, but there's still questions on the line and then sure. On the defense. So, and the offense, don't get me wrong, it's a question. I mean, we don't know how it's going to play in the NFC West and against this competition. This is different competition for many of these players who are going to be thrust into roles right out of college, I think, a lot of them, not just Kyler.
They're going to be interesting, though, Jody. And I know that fans are like, okay, Brad, whatever, you're reaching at straws. No, there is a point where you bottom out, which they've done, I think, I hope. And you've got to be interesting, and they're going to be relevant, I think, in the landscape for the first month and a half. We'll see where they are by midseason. But they are interesting, much more to me than they were a year ago.
Yeah, and I think that that's going to be the intrigue initially. And sure. The big key is going to be, look, if Kyler Murray can do his thing on the big stage, which I think that they're going to put him in every position. This was the situation, you're going to be all in or you're not. So, I mean, they're all in on this and making it work. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, and I like Brett Hundley in there, but keeping him healthy is going to be huge because when you have everything dialed around one guy in Kyler Murray, you know, you're going to want to keep him healthy, and that's obvious, right? But I think there are ways they can do that. And, you know, we hope to see David Johnson back to what he can do. They are going to run the ball. I mean, they're going to have to keep teams a little bit off balance, and that's going to be a big part of it. But I think that's the one thing we all are wondering, right, is how much are they going to pass the ball? Is it really going to be like we've seen Cliff Kingsbury at the college game? I think we all know that it can't be quite that high of a percentage because it's you do have to keep teams off balance. But we'll see how high it can get up there. If it's successful, you know they're going to keep throwing it.
Well, and one last thought on that, and it's Byron Murphy is now turned into a player that is going to be enormous for them with the Patrick Peterson suspension.
Yeah. And that's another thing that you really hate to throw rookies right in there, but he's going to have to do that.
Yep.
And I think, and I know you know him really well, Brad. You know him a lot better than I do. I really don't yet. But I think he's the kind of guy that maybe could handle it. And that's something that we're going to see because, you know, going back to Bruce Arians, where he didn't love putting rookies in that position for a reason. But, you know, it did work out. It did work out a lot of times when he had to do that. And coaches have different philosophies. And Cliff Kingsbury is going to be one of those ones that's also trusting these guys to go out there and sort of do their thing right off the bat.
All right. I'm going to let you go off this. And that is, where is your bobblehead? You know, I'm looking around in this shot of you. Have not done a bobblehead on you yet, Jay?
No.
Come on.
I don't need a bobblehead.
Get out. All right, I'll let you go off that. See you later. Thanks.
All right, see you, Brad. Hopefully see you out at the ballpark.
There's Jody Jackson with us from Fox Sports Arizona. Great reporter and host. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, one of the things I did not hit on the top of the show today was Eric's garage sale. Every year, I don't know how many years you've done this garage sale thing, but it feels like every year that we've done this business, you have to take off or you're unavailable because you have a garage sale. I don't know how many of you have used that as an excuse to get out of work. How many years have you been doing the Sorensen garage sale?
Well, your facts are not exactly accurate. They're sort of accurate. The garage sale happens about once every 3 years, believe it or not.
Get out. It feels like last year you did one.
It feels like last week we did one. But
so you do this with your mom and your dad.
I do. At their house. It's a collaboration of some of my stuff and some of their stuff.
It's not a collaboration. It's a cluster bleep.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is a cluster bleep.
So how does this work? Does mom call you and say, hey, so, or is it, hey, so we're doing that? Your mom's a sweetheart.
Well,
I've met your mom.
I moved, so
yeah.
I had stuff. I went from a big house to a small house. So when
well,
you
let's
go
get
from a big
straight.
House to a small house.
It's not just your garage sale. It's their garage sale.
It's at their house, but it's like a 50-50 split on the garage sale. It's just as much stuff that they have as I have. And it's the most ridiculous of things. You know, we're talking about like pots, pans, bobbleheads.
Wait a second.
Old
so you
golf
load
clubs.
I've been to your house. So you load up your house, some of your junk, and you go drive to their house to get rid of your junk.
Well, most of my bleep was at their house.
So basically, they went from a big house to a small house,
and my parents have a bigger house. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I'll just use one of your bedrooms, put all my stuff in. And finally, my mom just basically said, we don't want this stuff in the house anymore. We need to have a garage sale.
Have you ever considered the idea of Salvation Army truck?
Yes, that is where the stuff goes that doesn't sell.
But you're fine sitting out there haggling over somebody over a bar of soap.
It's fine. I mean,
how much money did you make?
Okay.
Do you make money? Did you do well this weekend?
How much do you think a 3-day garage sale would make as a total with no big items?
Where were the cross streets within reason?
44th Street and Camelback.
$100 a day.
Way lower than that, or way higher than that.
Way higher.
We made about $1,000.
Get out.
So, yeah, a little under $1,000. So.
What was the top selling item?
A mixer sold for like $60.
God almighty.
And my dad sold a table saw for I think like $60 or $70.
What was the most ridiculous back and forth you had with someone?
The $2 t-shirt rack.
Yeah.
The lady was haggling over the $2 t-shirts.
Yeah.
So we settled on, I believe it was 4 t-shirts for $6.
Wow.
And
it's a deal.
And she handed me a $50 bill.
Of course she did.
And I was like, why did we spend the last 10 minutes haggling if you are carrying around 50s and 20s?
Do you enjoy haggling?
Of course.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? I mean, you know me. I'm petulant. I'm stubborn.
What?
Yes.
Really? Shocking. Yeah. Breaking.
Yet loving all at the same time.
While all this was going on, that's true. While this was going on, Kerry Taylor gets blown out at Arcadia. And you and I and Jordan have had a couple conversations about Kerry Taylor and that probably should be doing a deep dive on him. And Sarandon, our intern, wrote, who went to Arcadia, did a nice story on him a couple weeks ago. Did this surprise you that he got blown out?
No. And it shouldn't come as a surprise to the people who had followed his journey to Arcadia and to the present day.
So you say that in a tone of you would not hire him to me.
I didn't say that. I just wasn't surprised that he got fired.
Should he get another job?
Right now?
Yeah.
No.
Not even as an assistant?
As an assistant, yes.
I think he should get rehired. I think Arcadia is making a big mistake. But here's the thing. Arcadia is the one that screwed this up, not Kerry Taylor. Kerry Taylor did what he was supposed to do. Hire me. I will get your football program turned around. I will change the culture. Let me finish. I'll change the culture. And so he came in, and I remember one of his very early tweets. And the early tweet was, if you want to go on a summer vacation for a few weeks, this is probably not for you. I'm paraphrasing, but it was basically saying, we're going to change things here. And so Arcadia has gotten their heads kicked in. They were winless before Kerry Taylor showed up. Now, Kerry decided to come in and try to be the 800-pound bull in the china shop, and you can't do that. I had a number of coaches, had some parents at Arcadia, and they all said things that were complimentary, but there were things that were said on his social media that he was a social media monster, and he was. Eric, help me out on this. Was he building up players in a positive way online? From my view, he was. Am I wrong on that?
Absolutely not. You're absolutely right.
Okay. The downside for him was he was trying to poke bears and perhaps poach kids. I don't know that. I've had some parents that said I have some text messages from him, but they wouldn't share them with me. You and I hear stuff all the time. So I'm going to leave it to you on this one. It sounded like he was trying to poach kids, got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, went back on social media when he shouldn't have. Decided to go rogue, and that's when the administration says you're gone. But from day one, it sounded like there were some people over there saying, maybe we got this wrong.
And I don't think anyone can argue the fact that he did great things at Arcadia. Like you said, they went from 0 wins to 6 wins. And I just think Kerry Taylor may have made the program more about Kerry Taylor and not about Arcadia football. And eventually, you have to realize that Kerry Taylor works for Arcadia High School and works for the administration. The administration and Arcadia High School doesn't necessarily work for Kerry Taylor.
No, that's fair. No, that's very fair. Would you say that the power programs that are in place now, whether it was Sean over at Chandler or Jason at Saguaro, that they understand that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because I've talked to a bunch of coaches about how do you handle success? And basically, several of the coaches at the power programs have relayed the fact to me that, like, I might be the face of the program, but I am not the program. I am just a part of the program. And I think in a lot of ways, Coach Taylor thought, like I said, that he was...
Kerry Taylor.
Or sorry,
not Richard Taylor.
I'm sorry, Kaylor Taylor. Yeah, Kerry Taylor was above that. But again, like you said, there has to be some swag and there has to be some confidence, because when you take over a team that won zero games, you have to get those players to buy in. And you've been on Twitter all weekend. I mean, those players have completely bought in and they're acting as though he's still their coach. Like, you and I had a text exchange last night. The word reinstated is so inaccurate. He wasn't suspended. He was fired. Okay.
Right.
He would have to be rehired, not reinstated.
Correct.
That's a big difference.
Correct. Well, and so Wednesday, the parents are trying to get a meeting together and all of that.
But they're not the decision makers.
They're not the decision makers, but Arcadia also, their baseball coach, jumped ship. And Arcadia is known. You went to Arcadia.
I wouldn't say he jumped ship. He went to a better job.
He jumped over to another
job. Of course. But he went to a better job.
He went to a better job.
It's not like he left to go coach Coronado. He went to Chaparral, which is a huge baseball power.
But Arcadia now has to find a baseball coach.
Yep.
And they are more known as a baseball school, right?
They are.
I mean, there's some good players, from my understanding, that live right around Arcadia High School.
Yep. I mean, they're really best known for their country club sports, to be honest. I mean, they're decent in basketball every 4 or 5 years, and football is kind of up and down. I mean, they were good a few years before Kerry Taylor got there, and then they just completely bottomed out.
Okay, so I'm bringing this up because, if we remember right, Kerry went public in an interview on TV about Dennis Erickson and how Dennis Erickson should have been fired, and this was back in 2010. Kerry has been unfiltered. That's just who he is.
Which is fine.
When I saw Kerry at Hamilton and he's there with Jarrell Robinson on one side and Kerry Taylor on the other, there weren't enough microphones around. That's just who he's been. He has a level of confidence about him. Is it confidence becoming arrogance? Or as one longtime respected coach told me, he hasn't learned yet how to dial it back. And he just turned 30. So...
especially on social media, because it's so public, and it's just like a fire. It's just like a wildfire. You could put a tweet out there, and even if the tweet gets deleted, it's out there. And Kerry Taylor never deleted the tweet where he was essentially saying, "Hey, you know what? That's not my problem. That's someone else's problem." When it came to recruiting or whatever, and you just have to know when to fire those bullets. And I just think that could have been the straw that broke the camel's back.
Okay, so one last point on this, because you know this better than I do. Have you had other high school head coaches, people in other programs that talk with you, voice their displeasure, distaste, uncomfortable, whatever, laugh at what was going on with Kerry over at Arcadia?
Yes.
Okay, and was that pervasive or was it just a few programs? Was it across the board?
I don't think it was across the board, but there were certain instances of... even last year at 7-on-7s, where Arcadia was just, they got kicked out of a 7-on-7 for trash talking and for being unruly. And with that swagger, sometimes, you know, these are very influenced kids who can be influenced easily.
15 to 18, 19 years
old. And when you spend all this time building these players up,
right,
they take on some of your swagger and some of your arrogance. But when you take it out on the field and you take it too far and kids are getting hurt, what does that reflect back on your head coach?
So Wednesday night, as it stands right now, there will be parents getting together. This will lead newscasts around town. This will bring in a lot of social buzz, and we'll just see how it plays out. I think someone like Kerry Taylor has a place in coaching for sure. For sure. He got results. But it was an Arcadia problem, not a Kerry Taylor problem. They're the ones that hired him. On the other side, the NBA finals and some college basketball, too. Stay with us. A couple of things before we get out of here. Over the weekend, in Louisiana, state of Louisiana, a rare Saturday session where the Senate voted 35-0 for House Bill 184. You are going to be hearing more about House Bill 184 here in Arizona, I'm sure, in a certain amount of time. The legislation creates a misdemeanor crime of harassment of a school or recreation athletic contest official. Conviction could lead to a maximum sentence of imprisonment for 90 days. Here's the thing. I am now going back into being a high school dad. This will be my fourth venture into this. My eighth grader is going into ninth. He's going to play some sports at school, and I've already decided that I'm going to use a pass that I get from the AIA, and I'm not going to sit in the bleachers. I'm not. It's not because I don't like people. I don't like dumb people. I don't like people that stand up and yell things at the ref or the coach because they don't know what they're talking about. Simple. And you might be one of those that thinks, you know what, when I show up at a sporting event, it's my way to unplug and unwind. And yeah, it is. It is. Sports is terrific in that realm. Unfortunately, there's really dumb people that decide if once they're admitted into a high school stadium or a college stadium or a pro stadium, they can say and do whatever the bleep they want. And I don't participate in that. Have I seen players' daddies go after the official after a basketball or football game is over in the parking lot? Heck yeah, I have. Beyond stupid. Have I ever been upset with an official? Yeah, I got kicked out of a couple of gyms. Coaching. Never gotten into the face of a ref and they said, you got to leave the gym. As a coach, yeah, I got thrown out. Got thrown out a bunch of times because I'm going to fight for my kids. Big difference as a coach. And if you cross the line and they tee you up, throw you out, you got to accept that. So 90 days in jail if you touch harassment of a school recreation athletic contest official. So I'm guessing, to go deeper on this, the measure must return to the House for its consideration of a Senate amendment and would criminalize not leaving the field and facility when ordered by police. So I've seen that too. I can even give you, I'm not going to use the name. I'll just say a very high-end high school basketball player who went on to play at a very high level at a school within about 20 miles from where we're sitting right now, who one of his parents at a high school basketball game refused to leave the gym, and the police showed up, and the player said out loud to everybody in the gym to hear, "Why do you always have to embarrass me?" So is this across the board where there's beyond stupid parents? You want to call this like a stupid driving law when we're in the middle of monsoon season? Am I calling some of you dumb? I don't know. I don't know how you handle yourself, but you've probably seen it. If I go to court four and see a brawl where baby mama is out on the floor because her guy is not getting the calls made and she's swinging at some other lady, which I've seen, and there's an eighth grade basketball game going on next door to the high school and junior college game. Just, it's beyond stupid. It's the stuff that I see at times. So state of Louisiana, I can only imagine what the state of Louisiana is like on a Friday night or Saturday night. I can only imagine what it's like. So that's out there. U of A named Jack Murphy an assistant head coach yesterday. So there's been some buzz that Sean's going to get suspended for a few games to start out the season. I'm guessing he'll be back when the Gonzaga game is played. And I don't know if it's going to come down or not, but I'm just saying what's out there from people whose opinions I trust and respect. So he decides to go get Jack Murphy, who is a link to Lute Olson. This is a very important point here. Do not miss this. He was student manager and a big part of what Lute Olson did. And so the Lute Olson group jumps into social last night saying, what a great hire, what a great move. Jack Murphy bolts from NAU yesterday after his last night. It's like 6 o'clock last night. Jack's gone. So he goes to U of A. That will, Jack Murphy, a link to Lute Olson, pacify the longtime U of A fans that aren't happy with all the nonsense that's gone on at U of A here recently, even though they say nothing's happened. Sure. So then NAU turns around about a half hour later, and they name Shane Bukar to be their interim head coach. Now, Shane, for those of us that follow sports here in the Valley, was at Mesa High School for many years, like 12 years, and he gets given a great opportunity. Now, he does have the interim title attached to him. But here is somebody, I've never understood why, like Jack, the first year, I think Eric was the first year we did the company. NAU made it to the CIT, and we went up there, we did a story, the city was all excited and all that, and they've really struggled since for a number of reasons. They hire Shane, and I think Shane is somebody that can go into powerhouse hoops, that can go into some of these high-end club basketball programs and find guys to head up to Flagstaff. I was more interested in the Shane Bukar hiring than I was Jack Murphy going to Sean Miller's staff. I know Sean Miller's deal is going to produce lots of tweets and retweets and likes and all that nonsense, okay? But I think the Shane Bukar story is really good. On the finals front, so as I said off the top, the series has been fascinating to me. It's coming down to whose hamstring is going to hold up. Is it Kevin Durant's or Klay Thompson's? Like, for the Warriors to lose two guys and they go back tied up at a game apiece, and Steve Kerr is sitting there rolling guys out to get production and minutes from people that you've never heard of. Yeah, Steph was hitting some amazing shots last night, but go down the list of guys, and DeMarcus Cousins was fantastic last night. He's a lot of fun to watch. There's also been some chatter on social about the sixth pick of the Suns to the Lakers for Lonzo Ball. I was head of the Lonzo Ball fan club a few years back. Maybe he's grown up. Maybe he's grown out of it. Kobe Bryant, is he working with, trying to get Kyrie Irving to go to the Lakers? That is what is out there today as well. Kyrie respects Kobe. Recruiting is going on, even though Kobe didn't recruit when he was with the Lakers, which made me wonder. You think guys like Steve Nash or Amari Stoudemire or anybody would be out there recruiting for the Suns here in free agency? I mean, do we have guys that are that close? Grant Hill can't. He's part of the Atlanta Hawks now. But when Kobe Bryant calls saying, hey, you need to come to the Lakers and play, it carries a lot of weight. Is there anybody in the Suns' history that would pick up the phone and call and say, you need to come to Phoenix? Like Monty Williams and James Jones. And by the way, I feel better about James Jones being my general manager in Phoenix and Rob Pelinka in Los Angeles right now, just to be straight. And I've been sitting here ripping the Suns for the last 9 years. If James Jones and Monty Williams are able to bring in a free agent this year that's of substance and try to make a trade that will work out and be in their favor, they've made a couple, the Oubre trade in particular. But it's a really interesting time here. Like the NBA in the next 3 weeks up to the finals and then the draft, there's going to be buzz this year. There just is. Because I think the Suns are close and there's all this turmoil going on. And if Durant leaves, if Kawhi leaves Toronto, why would he leave Toronto? He's got a whole team there. He's the guy. He's the face. Why would he go to the Lakers and be alongside LeBron? Why would he go to the Clippers? It's a really interesting time. We're going to jump over now, work on the TV show side. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, as always, is our senior executive vice president of Everything or Nothing. There is a lot of content up on our website at sports360az.com. If you're just finding us, the show repeats over and over and over. Jody Jackson was on with us earlier. In about 20 minutes, you'll see her again. We are self-funded. That means people believe in what we do. We appreciate their support in the businesses. That's how we do this and make it work. Have a great day.